Big Three Roll Up. It's your boy Silk.
It's Kev.
And Newberg.
How everybody feeling?
How you guys doing? We are the Big Three Roll Up. We're a podcast out of the state of Florida covering the big three teams in Florida, Florida State, Miami, and Florida.
The flagship.
I'm Josh Newberg. I represent Florida State.
I'm Silk, and I represent the flagship University of Florida.
And I'm Kev, and I represent Miami.
So we want to welcome you all to SeaWorld. We're out here at Flamecraft Bar at the waterfront. If you guys are at SeaWorld or in the Orlando area, please come out. Hang out with us.
Hanging out.
Silk's drinking a little foo-foo drink over here. It's red and icy.
Don't judge me when I'm on vacation, bro.
You know the vibes, vacation vibes. But yeah, we're out here at Flamecraft Bar today. We're going to preview some of the bigger games coming up. We're also going to have some former players join us for a sit-down to talk about the week ahead. And two of the three teams in the Big Three are playing today. So we're going to preview those games as well and also talk about Week 5 football. But we want to thank SeaWorld for having us out. Great hospitality so far. We've got to go around. Yes, thanks, SeaWorld. Big round of applause.
Big orcas.
But yeah, we got the bar tab rolling. Silk's already taken advantage of that. Food on the way. I got no complaints. We're going to get this little show started. How far out are we from game time? Like, we're about an hour and a half out. So we're going to talk Big Three football right now. Get it out of the way. UF plays Towson. That's Towson without an N. We on the show this week, we had a couple complications with pronouncing the team Towson.
Hey, you almost said it again.
But we didn't really have complications. It was Berg saying we had complications, and then Berg doing it again.
Well, I thought I heard...
You had complications.
I thought I heard Corey throw an N in there, but I was mistaken.
Yeah, I'm a Corey in case, like, Berg think we're real friends in real life. He calls me by my real name. But no, I had no problem with Towson, man. Like, you had the problem. You threw an N in my vocabulary, but I didn't throw it out there like that.
So do you think UF's going to have any problems with Towson?
No, it should be a breeze today. We should come out there, get some work done, get the first team guys in to get some points. I expect Kyle Trask to play a turnover-free game, get the run game going. It's been one of our hiccups is run blocking and creating space for the running back. So I expect us to work on some things in the run game and also blow them out, get the backup some playing time early in the second half.
Now, we having burgers today?
We definitely having burgers. We should serve up some 40 burgers. I expect us to blow them out. And if we score 80, I think Kyle Trask entered his Heisman race. How y'all feeling?
I got a real question. Like, I get getting the backups in against Towson, but next week you play probably the best front seven in college football in Auburn.
That's why they got to get the backups in, bro.
No, I think that they need reps, because that's been the hiccup, right? The run blocking.
Yeah, you got to get those. Yeah, I agree with you. We need all the reps as possible, but you also got to avoid injuries before getting into serious SEC play. So, and your depth matters as well, because you got to have those guys ready to play definitely in SEC play. You got to be more than one deep in SEC play to survive it. Nobody's making it to Atlanta with just a one. So I get what you're saying. We do need to clean some things up with the first team, but we also got to get our backups in and get them some reps. Yeah. Offensive line may play a little longer than the rest of the starters.
Yeah, I want to talk. We talked about the run game a little bit on the show, and you also hit on it with Stadium and Gale. P. Ryan, is he going to be the guy? I mean, heading into SEC play, is he going to be the workhorse?
I think he's going to be the workhorse until he isn't. I don't see – until he's fumbling or just – making mental mistakes in pass blocking or something like that, he's going to be the guy, because he's earned that spot. I do think Damian Pierce brings you a change of speed and a different running style that he could break some tackles in the backfield and kind of create some – and see some creases that P. Ryan may not see and go against the grain. But P. Ryan's going to be that guy. I would love to see the carries get split.
Right. And as far as running the ball, we saw Emory Jones get in there and run it a bit. We expect the backups to be in. Do you expect Emory Jones' role to be similar to last week, or do you think we're going to get to see him air it out a little bit more and run that offense?
I think they'll – I mean, and this is just my opinion. I haven't talked to the staff about their play calling load or anything like that. But I think he gets in just the same as last week, fairly early in the second quarter. You get some running looks, but I also do think he'll get some passing down. I think it was pretty much even. I just think in the first half
he only ran
the ball, but he did get some throwing plays in the second half, and it was kind of even with the plays that Dan called for him. But I think it'll be a little bit more the same.
Now the Gators had two major injuries last week. Two guys were held out on the defensive side of the ball: C.J. Henderson and who was the second?
C.J. Henderson and Jabari Zuniga were both out.
So do you think that this would be a smart week to keep them out, knowing SEC play looms, or are we going to see them back on the field getting some reps today?
I don't think you'll see either one of those guys back. Both are going through ankle injuries. Both are able to – I'm not going to say both. I know C.J. Henderson is available to play, but I don't know if you rush him out there. I think you play Kyrie Elam and the younger guys. Get them some reps. We know what C.J. Henderson could do. He don't have anything to prove against Towson. So I think he just rests. He's the best player on your defense. Give him some rest. Get ready for Auburn.
And Auburn will be a fun one. Silk, shout out what you got going on with Stadium and Gale for the Auburn game.
Stadium and Gale. We got a tailgate. We're playing Auburn next week, August 5th. It'll be homecoming in Gainesville, of course. Me and my man Ahmad Black from the Stadium Miguel podcast, we'll be out there doing. We were doing a tailgate, but now it's a party bus, bar crawl, with games and different things at different bars in Gainesville next week. So we partnered with some guys that are in Gainesville that do party bus events. So that's what we'll be doing next week. We still have tickets up for sale on Eventbrite. If you guys are interested, go ahead, TJ.
Yeah, I want to say there's only like 15 left. So, you know, it's 11 o'clock on Saturday morning. So we'll be on the bus this time next week. You got 15 tickets left. So whoever's kind of out there, you better run and get them fast.
Yeah, it's 15 tickets left. There's nothing I can do once they sold out. It's a bus. It's not like a tailgate. We can squeeze some people in and figure out that it's still sponsored by Larry Subs. So food will still be provided by Larry Subs. Drinks, beverages, and vices will be provided by Jan Stevenson.
Hall of Famer.
Hall of Fame golf.
No big deal.
Yeah, no big deal.
Just another one.
But, yeah, y'all pull up next week, Auburn.
I'm looking at the live stream, you guys. We have this going on Patreon, the Big Three Roll at Patreon. It's going live stream right now. We got some comments. Cam's in here. What a do, baby. Let's go. Big vacation vibes. Silk over here with those. Great quality so far. Meal plan vibes. Kev.
Absolutely. If you're not taking advantage of the meal plan, you are doing SeaWorld wrong. Yeah, I'm just telling you, bro. You go over here, they got a I don't know all the names, bro. Just trust me when I tell you. I don't drink, so I do the food thing, and
it's the greatest deal in the park.
It really is. It's the greatest deal in Orlando.
All right, we got a question
here
for Silk.
The whole Orlando, all of it.
We got a question here for Silk. What's your expected final score for the UF game? I know you said we're going to eat burgers, but what's the exact score you got?
I want to put up, like, some ignorant, like, 50 points. Okay. Hopefully we don't start slow. We get out and get right on top of them like last week. That's one thing, too. I like the offense seems to get clicking right away on the Cal Trask, and it seems like Felipe got it going, but we would always stall on the first drive for some reason or something would falter, but last week against Tennessee, we kind of went down the field pretty smooth, hit some chunk plays, and got 7 right at the gate. So
I think Towson's a little bit better than Tennessee, though.
You might be right, but I think we still get the same results.
But you're not joking. Like, they literally might be just a little bit better.
That's what happens when people hire your friends to coach football, Bert.
We're not talking about my friends today.
Speaking of, how about Moxley last night?
We're going to get into some talk about all that in a little bit.
Smoke.
My mentions are
full. That's old stuff.
Yeah.
That's different.
These guys, like, rag on me a little bit. And last night, it was funny. We Silk got into the hotel about 8:30, and I'm sitting there watching the Maryland game. Maryland's getting blown out. Silk looks at me, and he's like, Berg, what's up with your friends?
Your friends.
And then,
stink.
Like, we're sitting there. Like, 5 minutes later, I log on to Twitter. And in my mentions, people are like, Berg, your friends, I'm like, oh, God, I'm getting it from every angle.
I should have picked my friend though. That's what that's why I made a mistake. I should have took your strategy and went with Juwan Sider with in Penn State. Right. But
and I picked Penn State. I didn't even go with my friend. Yeah. I had a bail on him. We are the Big Three Roll Up. We're out here at SeaWorld. You guys can find us at what exact bar? We're at Flamecraft Bar out here on the pavilion. Today is also Craft Beer Fest. I'm sure TJ is going to make his way over to check out Craft Beer Fest. So
Big Crafts.
A lot going on here at SeaWorld today. If you're in the area or if you're at the park, come hang out. Big vacation vibes over here. Kev?
Yo.
Well, we'll talk Miami later because Miami's on a bye week. But I got TJ here. So we're going to talk FSU. The talk all week.
Can somebody grab me a craft beer if that's what we're going to
do? Chug it real quick.
You need something stronger than a beer.
Grab me one. I'm just going to pour it on my head.
You got anything that makes Willie a better coach back there.
Kev, by your logic, we're 1-0. Yeah, we're having a great week being 1-0.
Last week is over.
Season just started.
I know. We got bigger expectations over here.
Jeez.
So, speaking of FSU, Blackman starting?
Yeah, that's the talk. So, as we know, last week, James Blackman went down. Third quarter of the Louisville game, Alex Hornibrook, grad transfer from Wisconsin, filled in. Did a pretty good job. Went 15-22 for 155 yards, threw two touchdowns. One went to Tamari and Terry for over, I think it was a 68-yard play. So, he came in and made it happen. On Sunday, Knowles 24/7 reported that James Blackman had a MCL strain and was listed as day-to-day. Early in the week, it did not look like he would play. He's progressed. Willie Taggart and the Florida State Seminoles dropped their depth chart this morning, listing James Blackman as the starter. So it does look like we're going to see James Blackman start against NC State. I fully expect to see Hornibrook at least get something similar to what we saw last week where he came in before James was hurt and got the third series. I think Hornibrook comes in again and gets somewhere a series within the first five drives. But it looks like this is James Blackman's game to start and probably to finish. TJ, I know a lot of FSU fans are kind of torn over this. Are you surprised that only five games into the season, people are already excited to see who the backup quarterback is?
Haven't we done this as a fan base since Jameis left?
Times three. I think we've done it on every fan base.
Every fan base likes the backup more, right? We're scoring more points now than we have. I mean, since what, 2013?
Probably, yeah.
You know, the offense, and we still want the backup quarterback. You know,
yeah,
the
and we're only doing it in three quarters.
Right. The defense can't stop ULM, but we need the backup quarterback. So, of course, the fan base is always going to clamor for something. We talked about this walking around this morning, kind of on our behind-the-scenes thing. I think both quarterbacks are average to slightly above average, and they both do different things.
Watch out.
Well, and
5-6-1 chicken.
Each the fan base just wants what the other. You know, they want the best of both quarterbacks, and so I don't know. I do hope they're not rushing him back too quickly. We have a bye next week. Is that correct?
Right. Yeah, a bye week before we head to Clemson,
and then Clemson, which that's kind of like a bye week too. Because
TJ, would you rather have?
For them, it's a bye week.
Well, yeah. So
y'all gotta show up.
Why, no, it's a trap game, Kev.
In my opinion, why wouldn't you just start?
It's a trap game.
I would start Hornibrook today, have the bye week, then start Hornibrook, and then have Blackman kind of, fresh off of 3 weeks rest. So,
that sounds like a setup, TJ. I see what you're doing there.
He's trying to get his head coach fired, isn't he?
No, he's not trying to get his head coach fired. But I mean, you create if here's your thing. Okay, you rest Blackman. The Horny Hive and Hornibrook comes out and scores.
Say he even puts up the same stats as last week.
Yeah.
15-20.
Yeah, and they blow
250 yards and two touchdowns.
Correct. So if he does really well, coming off that bye, if the fans are already clamoring and wanting Hornibrook, that's going to be like times 10.
Yeah, I mean, Willie created the the staff created the QB controversy already anyway. I think the fans kind of
– Do you blame it on the staff? I mean, James has had the opportunity to kind of take this thing and run.
But James has been
efficient, and he's – I don't think the problem has been James.
Not at all.
You know what it is? I mean, this reminds me a lot. I saw this last year with Rick. Mm-mm. Willie is handling this quarterback situation terribly.
Absolutely.
If he give – okay, so when he gave Hornibrook the third series last week before he got
– Yeah.
Before he got in trouble – that's creating the controversy.
Before
he got hurt,
so
that's
unnecessary.
Creating the controversy. Well, like, what did Blackman do to get benched, but five on defense hasn't done to get benched?
Nothing.
That's a great question.
No, Blackman's been playing well. Or, but, you know, as well as he can, you know.
But well, I think what they're doing is they're trying to find that spark. I mean, Blackman's offense has lost momentum, and I think what was going to happen is they were going to play Hornibrook that third drive, and they were going to probably work him in maybe in the second half when FSU is traditionally stalled out in every single game. So
correct.
I think at the end of the day, I mean, Willie Taggart needs to get wins. This is year two. You can't really experiment with things like you could have last year, where he didn't really take advantage of that. He could have sat DeAndre Francois and seen what he had in Blackman last year, but
I mean, we've always said on here, when you have two QBs, you have zero.
You have none. Right? That's
and,
my thing.
But at the end of the day, I get what Burke's saying, too. He's just trying to win games. So if he's got to play five QBs to try and win a game, I mean,
but you could
test that against Louisville. I think NC State's a little better. You know, and you're certainly not going to do this against
I don't think you have a different of style of QB to play two QBs.
Right.
Like, I think you
it's
either
not
go,
hurts. It's not hurts to us.
Correct.
It's not like, a runner and a thrower.
Correct. I think these quarterbacks are so similar in what they do. Blackman has a stronger arm, but what you want Hornibrook to do, there's no reason to bring James in. Like, why are you playing two quarterbacks? So I think they're playing two quarterbacks because it's a competition. I don't think they're just putting them out there for no reason. I think they're trying to see what they got in Hornibrook.
The keep both guys happy thing is where it's going to get funny, though. Because pretend Hornibrook wins out. Pretend Hornibrook's the best.
When Blackman's
they
gone.
They still have to play Blackman
for
the future.
Right.
Right. This is Hornibrook. Hornibrook has max eight games left, right?
So, yeah. Willie's just
it's a one-week mentality.
He's not the greatest coach, and he can't catch a break either.
That's what happens when you're not winning.
It's win 1 week. That's all. He's not looking at the future because he may not have the future.
Well, he's on my same energy Sunday kick. We're 1-0 this week. We didn't cramp up in the fourth quarter. We're 1-0 this week.
We're 1-0 this drive is what he feels like. But, yeah, I mean, the only thing I worry about is I just hope they're not rushing Blackman back. I don't, you know, coming off the injury, I just don't want to see him re-injure or be shaky.
He may rush himself back.
Yeah.
I mean, if your job's looking a little questionable, I'm pretty sure these kids read the message boards and Twitter. So even if he's a little banged up, he's going to rush himself back because he want to keep his job. So I don't even know if it's just the coaches rushing him back than more of himself.
So, Berg, how do you kind of see the game playing out today? I don't think NC State's looked great this year.
Yeah.
Really, I think the offense will look fine no matter who the quarterback is. Does the defense stop anybody today?
Well, the defense
find a way.
You know, the defense struggles have been interesting for Florida State because this is possibly one of the worst defenses maybe in the last 20 years. One of the worst, if not the worst. But I think other things have overshadowed the defense's poor play this season. You know, coming off week one, we had Watergate. So we weren't talking about the 600 yards that Boise hung, you know. We've had the QB battle to discuss, where even though points have come at a premium, and we're still sitting here discussing the QB battle when that's not the issue. Hiring of Jim Leavitt, another good example of a distraction coming off of a loss at Virginia, where the defense kind of collapsed late again. So, yeah, I think the defense is a major concern, but I also think that NC State is probably smack dab in the middle of some of the worst teams Florida State's played this season. I think they're probably a little bit better than Louisville as a team, but I don't think they're as good as Virginia, and I don't think they're as good as Boise State. So my prediction on this one, I think Florida State wins. I'm going to take maybe a 7-10 point win. I think ultimately they outscore NC State. One thing that FSU hasn't had a problem doing is scoring points.
NC State defeated.
Thank you, Siri.
Thanks, Siri.
And I don't think NC State's going to be able to score with them. I think it'll be close, but I do have FSU winning this one. I see Richie over there shaking his head yes.
Shout out the Rollcast.
Rollcast Richie out here with us at SeaWorld.
Got some bad news, Richie.
So do we take another big lead and blow it again?
I will take Berg's friend here and my friend, Kevin Patrick.
NC State defense.
Shout out Russo Subs.
Shout out Russo Subs. Shout out 561 GOATs.
Already.
Shout out Palm Beach County Sports Hall of Fame. I'm trying to get in there, Kevin. I might have KP announce me when I get in.
It's not bad. It's not a bad idea. But yeah, I'm gonna take KP in this one just because I can't. You know why I'm here.
Right. You can't agree with me.
Yeah, I can't.
I kind of want to disagree with you, but I kind of want the Noles to win.
Yeah, you kind of don't.
That's a good point.
TJ wins either way. Yeah, TJ wins either way.
All right, before we move on and talk Miami bye week, wanted to shout out all of our YouTube streams right now. A lot of you guys are on here.
Thousands.
Let's catch up.
Millions.
Bro, I'm literally can't be more proud of you guys. I can't be more proud of you guys. So
I like that. I like that.
Pause. I don't know what we said that was pausable, but we probably did. Thanks.
I'm pretty sure you said it.
Yeah, 100% you.
Thanks for the catch. Justin Metters has a question for Kev. Did Kev see Chance Williams suplex Newberg's guy Jeff Sims?
I did see it on the timeline.
It was a real deal suplex?
Yeah. A lot of chance talk on the timeline last night. Jalen Rivers also played nice. We got some in Oak Leaf, man. Keep the Oak Leaf pipeline alive.
So I think later on today, me and Kev are going to reenact the Chance Williams Jeff Sims suplex.
I'm going to feed Berg to the orcas.
He's going to suplex me right into the orca tank. All right, so let's talk Miami bye week. Kev, I know you're 1-0, even though you're not 1-0, but you're 1-0 in your own head. Tell us how you feel during this bye week, and how is it different from the last bye week?
Miami's coming off a win last week against Central Michigan. It kind of felt like a loss. Played Central Michigan real close. Offense still wasn't what you want to see. Last night, Miami's next week's opponent, Virginia Tech, went out and got drubbed by Duke. I do not expect that same Virginia Tech team to show up in Miami next week, though.
That basketball school is just doing what they want to do in the ACC in football. It's amazing.
Virginia Tech will give Miami its best game of the season, just like they always do. Miami always plays that game kind of close. Miami, when they can't convert third downs and how their offensive line playing, we're going to play every game close. So just because you saw Duke kill Virginia Tech, I wouldn't expect that next week. Talk to me on Wednesday when we record the show. I'm probably going to pick a blowout. But right now, you just got to get better than the bye week, man. Like, Miami needed this bye week. And here it is.
Yeah, they did. And one of the things Miami got to do during the bye week is recruit. I got some information here, Kev. Just hold on.
No.
Manny Diaz, the head coach of the Canes, was at Oak Leaf. So he was there to see Chance Williams, defensive end commit, Jalen Rivers, one of the most important offensive lineman commits in Miami's class. Manny getting out there during the bye week shows who's a priority, right?
Well, yeah.
You got to get better in the trenches.
Manny was there. Well, now that you got McLeod coming back, because that was your only weakness, was linebackers. So now you got McLeod coming back. That kind of eases the load on the linebacker recruiting. I would go all in.
You still got to recruit the same. I mean, he's a guy that's going – I mean –
No,
a freshman coming in don't affect McLeod.
No. Right, but I feel you. But just where they are on the offensive line. I know we're also in Alabama seeing Dazzlin Washington, the former Alabama commit wide receiver. Miami's out recruiting right now, which they should be.
Yeah, and here, I got some more recruiting info for you. Coach Banda, the defensive backs coach, was at the Hialeah Pace game. He was there to see four-star FSU commit Jalen Harrell, who plays for Hialeah, and also Pace. Now, he was probably doing some future scouting. Pace has a couple 2022 studs. Running back coach Eric Hickson, he was at Vanguard High School to see three-star UM commit Antonio Smith, and also 2021 prospects Bryce Langston and Trevante Rucker. So
Rucker.
How do you like Miami recruiting right now?
Well, Miami's class is almost full, man. I mean, what's Miami sitting at?
It's going to empty out a little bit.
I mean, I think it'll thin out a little bit. What do you think on the 2020 class?
On the 2020 class, I mean, it looked like Miami was setting themselves up, like you said, to have a solid class and only have to add a couple pieces. But I do think if this Miami season goes the way that we kind of anticipate, having an eight win season, somewhere in that range, then, yeah, they're going to probably lose a couple spots. So there might be some more. But I think Miami, much like FSU, really has to improve in the trenches. Like, yeah, Florida State's class the last 2 years, I've been saying this. I don't care what they land at the top. I'm only really judging the class by what they land in the trenches at this point, right?
Here's my question for both of you guys. Any guys that are committed to you guys that you're, like, nervous about losing?
I'm not. In a weird way, Florida State has had zero decommitments. They have 21 committed prospects for the 2020 class. They're going to take somewhere in the 25 to 27 range. So they have five or six spots remaining.
I think here's my rebuttal to that. Last year, you guys, the problem wasn't keeping decommits during the season or anything like that. It came down to signing day down the stretch. Do you see that possibly being a thing down the stretch?
Yeah. I mean, if we're going to speculate.
I'll tell you this. For me, if Jaden Francois, DB, if he gets the green light from Ohio State, I think he'll go. I don't think he's got it right now.
All right. So, for me, if you're looking at the top of the commit list, right, you're looking at Demori Tate out of Freedom Orlando. We spoke to him a week ago, and he said it's always been his dream to play at Florida State. He's not going anywhere else regardless of the coaches. So you take him at his word moving forward. Jalen Knighton. Now, Jalen Knighton's one that could have some options.
I don't think he stays.
His Deerfield Beach team isn't having the greatest senior season for him, but he's still one of the truly elite offensive talents in the state.
He'll be primed to come to Florida State then. Like, he'll feel right at home.
Might get tired of losing.
Well, hey, we know. let's break it down, though. Why is Jalen Knighton at Florida State? Because he wasn't a take for Clemson, right?
I don't know what Willie did to get him, but I think it came down to
Miami too. And he chose Florida State over Miami. I don't see him going to Miami, so I think you're right. Who could be the one to come in and shake it up? Maybe Ohio State, but with the season they're having, do you think they go all the way to Florida to get Jalen Knighton, or do you think that they swing at bigger
targets? I think he's good enough talent with somebody. Like, a big team is going to want Jalen Knighton, and I think if Willie don't win, he got to get like 8 games, man, to salvage the class and keep the class together. I think you jeopardize losing your skill positions as well, which he's doing pretty good at. I'm not going to say pretty good. He's doing good at skill positions, but he's struggling in the trenches. But I think Jalen Knighton is going to look around, man. I think you'll see him start to take some business here soon.
The only nervousness I get from recruits is whether or not Taggart's going to be there next year. These kids, I mean, as recruits, they're gonna go with it. One guy I'll talk about right now, Malachi Wideman, 6'4", 180-pound wide receiver from Venice, Florida. Malachi Wideman has been a human highlight reel so far this season, and he committed to FSU early, didn't play in the spring football because he's busy with basketball, so some teams kind of, they didn't know what he was. But he's having one heck of a senior year. I know he's been, you know, Florida's been reaching out, Auburn's been reaching out, Ohio State's been reaching out, and he's one of those kids that he's bought into Willie Taggart, and he wants to go in and play for Taggart and try to turn this program around. I think he's one you keep an eye on. Lawrence Toafili as well chose FSU over teams like Ohio State and others. But right now, based on what we know and what they're saying, nothing's shaking loose. So we'll have to pay attention to that moving forward. It's 11 o'clock. TJ, we want to bring in an interview? I want to talk to Kev about one more thing.
Oh, good. Hey, let's go. Yeah.
Here's a setup.
He wrote something down.
He wrote something.
There's been a lot of talk about former fives. You know, we talk about getting all this talent to campus and players that actually make a difference. We all expected big things from Lorenzo Lingard. He's been injured a little bit.
He's been out.
But there's also
the SeaWorld setup.
But we see family members on social media claiming that he should be in the game. So there's a little bit of controversy going on right now with Lorenzo Lingard.
There's a lot going on at Miami that's a little weird.
But we
weird.
Can't ignore it.
Yeah, no, that's fine. And I appreciate a former five-star as much as anybody. But he's been injured. He hasn't been dressing for the games. And right now, how do you take DJ Dallas and Cam Harris off the field?
I hear you, but
I hear his family members. His family members are threatened. Not that he's going to transfer. That he's going to quit playing football and just run track. I don't sound smart to me, Berg.
A lot of money in that.
Why? But see, so that's the thing, though. I mean, here's what Manny said. It is hard to put a guy in a game where, oh, by the way, every play ends in a collision when you have the ball. So you have to be smart. You have to put a guy in a game where he has a chance to have some success. He is a guy that we want to get on the field. He will get some time on special teams. Special teams also pretty violent.
Here's my quick take. I don't think Manny has anything personal versus Lingard to keep him off the field. I think he's looking out for Lingard, and I also think that Miami running backs are playing well. I don't think they're the problem. So I don't think he has a reason to just throw Lingard. If last week, say, it was a blowout and you got a gripe because there was an opportunity for him to get in, I get it. But no, you're clawing and fighting last week. But yeah. I think it's another thing too. I think right now Manny Diaz got a lot going on, like culture wise.
Yeah,
I think he's trying to clean some stuff up. He's
got to get rid of those Ricked guys, in my opinion.
But he was one of the Ricked guys.
You never heard that. You never heard. don't put that
Once
on me.
Get those Ricked guys out of here.
Don't put that on me because I heard a lot about those Jimbo guys, and those are your best players.
They are the best players.
Wait till they leave.
Here's the thing.
We're not saying the Jimbo guys.
Here's why Willie got a better spot than that. Willie can blame Jimbo because he wasn't there. If Manny comes and blame Rick, like, bro, you was in control of half of this.
Half of the team. So, I have a hard time listening.
Rick's offensive guys.
I have a hard time.
The good half.
I have a hard time.
Can you give me that?
But I have a culture-wise, that's on the field.
Can you give me that?
I have a hard time hearing Manny talk down on the culture that was there when he was there.
Yeah, but he talked down on it when he was just the DC.
He did.
I know he got,
all right,
he
all
got
right.
talked to.
So is it safe? Can we end the argument now that we've been having for 2 years that Lorenzo Linger is better than Cam Akers? Can we just bury that?
Yeah, that's dead right
that's
now.
Cam looks good right now.
We can take that off the list.
That's dead. I think Cam Harris is better than Cam Akers.
I'll tell you this. I'll tell you this.
That's next. That's what, another
what's
show.
What's next? Another show.
Getting Kev,
Carroll City.
Getting Kev to admit that Akers is better than Lingard is the best win that you and I have had. Yeah, since
I don't even know. Like,
that's
more of his stubbornness
in about 18 months.
Hey, that's the best win in the last 2 years.
Can I get Berg to admit that Dalvin Cook is better than Cam Akers?
He's the greatest running back to ever play at Florida State.
Hey, yeah, relax.
Why was it?
I like
he
Ward
was
Dunn
better
never
than,
lived, bro.
Than Dalvin Cook.
Berg's the one that Berg's the one that paused when you asked if Jimbo was better than Bob.
Yeah, Berg don't got no loyalty. Berg don't got no loyalty.
I mean, he put him ahead of the GOAT. So, hey, do we want to grab Eric Wilbur real quick? You want to come in here and chat for a sec? Hollywood,
my
Black is on the phone, so maybe we'll get him in a minute. But
you got to ask his publicist first.
Yeah, I'll switch out seats with you.
Oh man,
we'll
you
do
got
a quick
beer
interview.
Come hang out, man.
Hey guys, how's it going?
What's up, Eric? How you doing?
I'm sweating my butt off.
Yeah, we are. And who's this pretty lady with you?
This is Hadley. Hadley, say hi. Hi. And I have Hayden over there. She's probably gonna come running over in a minute.
Oh, very good. Is.
So are you guys enjoying SeaWorld?
Absolutely.
Yes.
What's
yes.
the
take over the show?
Yes. There Let's you go. Go. Tell me what's the greatest thing you've seen so
yeah,
far?
Yeah, forget Daddy.
We just got here not too long ago. We were sending traffic. We've seen traffic. That's what we've seen.
But you're here repping your Gators?
Absolutely.
Can I get a Go Gators?
Go Gators.
And what is today?
Game day.
That's right. It's game day.
Hey, Eric, real quick, what piece of jewelry you're flexing? What kind of
drip that
is?
It's the 06 championship.
'06
drip? I rock it every once in a while.
Just something light. Okay. Just something light.
The Cracker Jack boxes now. We've got some great prizes. So.
You excited to see Kyle Trask in his second start here?
I am. I'm interested to see, you know, since it should be an easy game, hopefully they let him do a little bit more this week, let him get a little more comfortable before we play Auburn. So I'm excited for it.
What's practice week like when you got a game with Towson and a game with Auburn, like, looming overhead? What's practice week like?
It's tough. The coaches try and stay real intense because they know that you know, if you fall asleep that something bad could happen.
Hello.
Just checking in.
But a game like Towson is pretty easy, but if you're playing, no offense, but if you're playing like Vandy and then you have Auburn, that's the trap game.
So is there any game planning for Auburn, or do we just wait till next week?
No, so you're testing stuff out
right.
against Auburn.
Okay.
So you're running plays, you're getting ready for Auburn. They're saying, hey, we can run this against Towson. They're never going to run those plays, but you're prepping for Auburn.
Right. What's the importance also of, we're talking, balancing reps in games like this? Because on one hand, like Kev brought up, you want to make sure your guys are focused, on point, everything's clicking. But like Silk said, injuries. So how do you find that balance?
Well, what I was saying is your run game's been what needs the most rep. Your linemen, who to block, where to block, hit the holes. Auburn's got probably the best front seven in college football.
Yep.
So I think those one guys need more reps.
I agree. I think it all depends on how the first half goes.
Mm-hmm.
The second half is your practice half. If you're up good in the first half, then you start doing your practice reps. If not, you better keep your guys in, make sure you win that game and score some style points.
Here, we got a question on YouTube. I'll let Silk and Eric answer this one. The number one position Florida has to improve in order to make a championship run.
You want to go first, Eric? I think
I'll
you
let you
answer.
Take it, and then I'll go.
offensive line. In particular, I would say the right tackle position. But overall, the whole offensive line got to play better for us to make it to Atlanta, let alone the college football playoffs.
I agree with that. Offensive line is definitely there. I think that I would say running back, but I think that's a lot to do with the play calling, not necessarily the actual backs that we
have. Let me hear that take.
Yeah, go a little deeper on the run game struggles. Because we talked about that too.
We're talented. We have the talent. I just feel like that we're not setting ourselves up either, you know, running the ball to set up the pass or passing the ball to set up the run. We're not doing either one really right now. So we're doing ourselves a disservice across the board. But what I'll say, the position that needs to improve overall is DBs.
Yeah.
We need to tackle. I don't care what it is, what's going on. If our DBs can't tackle, we can't win.
That's a real good point.
Crazy to say that, looking at Ahmad and just the tradition of like some of the physicality of the UF DBs.
Yeah, I think the biggest problem with the DBs, I've seen the physicality get better as the games went on. But I think a guy like Marco, who missed a whole fall, I think he's been missing more tackles than anybody. And also at the safety position, I would say Juwan Taylor struggled with tackling in space and coming downhill hitting guys. But I think Juwan Taylor, you got a shoulder injury. You probably should be playing Brad Stewart and Sean Davis on the back end that'll clear up some of the missed tackles.
Right. But
I think Marco just missed a whole season in a spring football. So, and we didn't have a real physical camp as well. And I think that plays a part in, like, our defensive back depth chart got thin with Huggins being kicked out. So I think they took away the physical camp. We didn't get real physical because they couldn't afford any more injuries in the secondary. So I think they're just starting to tackle people, really.
Yeah.
They weren't taking guys to the ground in camp.
I agree with that, but we have guys that are hitting and just rolling off.
Correct.
That's wrapping up.
Going for the big hit. Correct.
Right? So if your shoulder's hurt, you wouldn't go for the big hit.
Now, I don't think Juwan's been a guy that's been even throwing the big hits. I don't think he hit nobody since he's been here, to be honest with you.
Even still, just hold on. I mean, we're all taught since being 5 years old playing football, if you can't hit them hard and take them down, you hold on for dear life.
Correct.
And then someone else will come take them down. But we're not doing that. We can't even hold on to a jersey and slow the guy down. Just hit him and just wait for someone else to come back you up.
Hey, let me ask you this while we're on it. Is in the field goal game, is our kicker somebody we can depend on? We've seen him miss one that I think he should have probably made in the Kentucky game. He missed one in the Kentucky game as well last year. You think our kicking game is dependable?
No, I think we're good. I think he's a solid kicker. He's very accurate. Allie hates me every time someone lines up for a field goal. I'm like, oh, he lined up right. He's going to push it. It's right every time. I think he's solid. I mean, you're not going to expect him to make every kick. He's going to miss one here and there. And I think missing a shorter kick that doesn't matter in that game is going to make him focus in the long run. And it's the mental reps and the focus on the kicking game. And I think he's good there.
Now, is it more mental with the – because we have a – Miami, we have a terrible problem
right now. And look at FSU. Aguayo missed, what, three kicks last week?
We have a problem with kicking. I think
– We all do
We've lost – our two games we lost by a combined 7 points. And in those games, he missed four field goals.
Whew. Okay.
Is it a mental thing? Like, can he come back from that, or what's?
So I haven't seen those kicks. There's a lot that can go on. If they change the holder, if it's a new long snapper, there's a lot of things that happen that can screw with the kicker's head. So, for example, we had someone that was holding when I was there for Chris Hetland, and he said, "Hey, I'm not worried about the spot or the laces. I'm just going to get the ball down on the short kicks." And Hetland's like, "What do you mean? The short kicks matter just as much as the long kicks. We need the 3 points. You better put it where it's supposed to go."
Right.
So you can have a lot of little things behind the scenes going on that can screw with the kicker's head and lose his confidence because he doesn't trust the people around him. So I'd have to see those kicks. I didn't see them.
Oh, okay.
But it's – I always say it – what is it? Punters are crazy. Kickers are nuts. I forgot what I said. What did I say before?
You forgot what you said.
I forgot what I said.
They're very fragile.
Yeah.
Like, have you – we've seen these situations, but more recently at Florida State, I mean, Roberto Aguayo. How does it really affect somebody that much just getting drafted in the first round and having that type of pressure? Or do you think, like, he gets lazy with his technique? Or how do you go from being the most accurate kicker in Florida State history to not being on a roster 1 year later?
It's the pressure he puts on himself. He didn't have that kind of pressure in college. You know, they were winning games. They were doing well. There were a lot of short kicks for him. And when your livelihood starts to depend on it, it's a whole different ballgame. So it's you start to tighten up just a little bit. Do you guys golf?
Yeah.
You golf?
A little,
so if you golf a little bit.
But
It's embarrassing, like, but yeah, I go out there.
If you're lined up out there to take a shot and someone says, hey, this shot doesn't matter, you're going to feel loose and you don't care where it goes, right?
I automatically know that none of the shots matter.
They don't matter, right?
Yeah,
but if you put $1,000 on that shot,
still don't
it's going to be about the same.
You're going to tighten up a little bit, though. You're going to tighten up just a little bit and be like, I got to focus and I got to. And something can go off. Just
I'm
going to
think
small.
All that, but right? The results are
results are going to be the same, but you're going to tighten up a little bit. But the same thing happens with kickers and punters is they start to think outside of that one specific kick and think bigger picture, and they can't do that. It's one
golf
kick at a time.
Golf is a good analogy, though, because it's all mechanic.
Absolutely. All it's mechanics. The same thing every time. Free throws, you know, you have a 90% free throw shooter, they could still miss one.
We saw the same thing with a Florida kicker. Caleb Sturgis was, like, one of the most accurate – Florida kicker, so he went to the Dolphins, and then
he turned. Like,
it's kind of like Chuck Knobloch. Remember,
he was such
a good second baseman.
Or
Rick Ankiel make the throw. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of like that.
It's sad. So, that stuff's sad to see, man, because you know they're fighting it. You know they're fighting it.
It's all mental. It's not physical. Right. Their leg didn't get weaker.
They've been doing this for their whole lives. I mean, you guys do hundreds and hundreds of rep every day, let alone every year, over time, and then for somebody to fall apart when they get to the pros is just. It's to me, it's kind
of
sad.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. There's a lot of talented guys that should be in the pros that aren't because of their mental game. Mm.
How do you feel about Eddie Pinheiro? You think he has a long career?
I like Eddie. He's a great guy. He's got a solid leg. He kicks it a little low, and I think that's going to be something he has to fix in the NFL. He was able to get by with it in college. In the NFL, especially on those longer kicks, D linemen, they're bigger. They're faster. They can jump higher, so you got to get the ball up quick. So – he's going to fix that, but I think he could have a real long career.
Now, in a pro city, like, do kickers not want to play in a city like Chicago, in Windy City?
Hell no.
You don't care? No, they don't want to play there. Okay.
Don't put me in a dome somewhere. Put half my games in a dome, and I'm golden. Right? You put me in even Jacksonville's a Windy Stadium, Chicago, any place like that.
Imagine kicking
year-round
in Seattle.
Yeah.
Well, that's how I draft my kickers in fantasy football.
Right.
Yeah, no doubt.
I pick, like, the Falcons or the
Who's
Lions.
Kicking off the turf this week.
Yeah. Well, they had a kind of an unspoken rule for punters for the longest time that if your home field was in a dome, you weren't allowed to be all pro.
Oh. Okay.
It's not fair.
Yeah. So,
but that rule broke a few years ago, but
I can see why they do that. So what's your feel on the team now that Kyle Trask is at the helm? I don't think we lose much production. Oh, well, we had this discussion on the podcast. Do you think there's a drop off from Felipe Franks to Kyle Trask?
I don't think there's a drop off because I think Trask makes better reads.
Okay.
That's the biggest thing. So Franks, I think, is more talented.
Okay.
And I have full faith in Mullen that he thought he was putting the best player out there to win the games.
Absolutely.
On a talent level, but as far as the reads go and the plays that he's making and just if there's green grass in front of you, take it. If there's someone open 5 yards or you can throw it in double coverage 50 yards, take the 5. So that's where I think you're going to see an improvement is we're going to slowly march down the field and score points instead of just trying to go for big plays and get a lot of 3-and-outs.
He definitely will take the check down, but I think he may do that better then because I don't think Franks wants to do the check down. So I think he may do that better. Like, the first read's not there, then he goes immediately to the check down. I don't know necessarily if he's really scanning the field, per se.
No, I don't think he's scanning the field. I just thinking he's reading from 1 to 2 better.
Okay.
Whereas I think Franks read from 1 and then kind of scrambled around and then went back to 1. And then if 1 wasn't there, he'd get a sack or try and run a little bit.
Well, and I think that's where having a coach like Dan Mullen – is so valuable because I'm sure the offense there's not as many reads, so like Silk said, I don't think the production is going to drop off much, but I think there's a drop down in talent.
That's what he's saying. He's agreeing to that. Yeah,
absolutely. Franks is very talented. He's a talented guy. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been there.
Big arm.
I almost wanted to put money on him for the Heisman as the dark horse going into the season. And then I slowly, quickly pulled out of that race.
Let's be realistic.
Once I saw he wasn't on the list, now you put it all in on Trask.
Once Miami's quarterback, who wasn't even starting, was still on the list and Franks wasn't there, I was like, all right, I won't do that.
I'm with it, man. So how you think we finish this up, man? I don't think Georgia is the juggernaut everybody's made them out to be. I think they're vulnerable in a lot of positions. I think it's going to be more of a game than people think it is. I think we got an opportunity to upset something in Jacksonville. What's your feel on that game in the season?
That game is, I think, easier based on last year and based on Mullen's focus for that game. I think the games we have a better chance of losing are Auburn and LSU. We got to focus on those, and I have a sore spot in my heart playing Auburn from what happened to me in 2006 when I dropped that punt. So I hope game day is at the Auburn game. I want to walk around with a sign.
They got to be. It's a top 10 matchup.
Right?
It got to be.
It's better than Ohio State and Nebraska.
definitely.
But, yeah, I think Georgia's going to be tough because Georgia feels like they deserve to be in the championship now. Kirby Smart's a great coach. They're very talented. I think we can beat them easier than we can beat Auburn or LSU right now.
Very cool. So what you got record-wise? You still don't – you change your preseason prediction, or you still guys on the same pace with Kyle Trask at the helm?
Honestly, I think we do better with Trask in there because we don't lose a game we're supposed to win. That's gotcha. Typically what happens. When we have a great team, we somehow lose one of the games we're supposed to win. Last year against Kentucky, should not have lost that game, right?
Correct.
But something happens. But I think with Trask in there, and I think Trask has a better focus and a better mentality than Franks does, so he's going to make sure the team stays on point, whereas okay. Franks would not do that, I don't think. So I think we're probably in a better spot now than we were as far as the overall season goes.
I like it, man. You out here kicking with the family. You got a little
Always.
National
yeah,
championship drip on.
So tell me, you got two young girls. What's game day tradition at your house like? Because they already know what game day is.
Oh, yeah. They wake up. They come in our room, jump around. It's game day. It's game day.
Let's get to it.
as soon as game day comes on, it's on the TV. And then probably about 4 o'clock, they start saying, can we watch something other than football? I'm like, no, it's game day. You
they just like the hype.
Yeah.
Same energy. Same energy you woke up with. That's cool.
Keep that all day.
Man, we appreciate you coming out here to SeaWorld and spending the day with us. Hope everybody has a fun time.
Thank you so much. I appreciate
it,
guys.
Absolutely.
Thanks a lot, man. Go Gators.
Go Gators.
And we are out here at SeaWorld. We're at the Flamecraft Bar at the waterfront.
Hollywood.
I just had them bring me one of Silk's. So here we are.
Yeah, man, the foo-foo.
Big daiquiris.
I'm a little embarrassed to drink this in public.
Y'all got an umbrella?
On a live stream, but.
Yeah, we need an umbrella.
Yeah, they need an orange. Yeah.
Hey, don't give me no. I don't want no fruit, no umbrella. Like
it's good, though.
Like you got the fruit. You're more foo-foo than me.
It's good.
I didn't even ask for it.
I just can't believe they got straws here.
Shout out to Hollywood Black for coming over here.
All right, so right now we're sitting down. We got another guest. Shout out to former Gator All-American Ahmad Black. Ahmad, welcome to SeaWorld. Welcome to the Big Three Roll-Up.
What up? Thanks for having me.
We got to do a drip check-in. So what jewelry drip we got on right now, man?
Oh, man, I was telling Silk earlier, everybody, you know, always got something to say about it, about if I have a ring on or whatnot.
Yeah.
So I like to tell them I got 6 of them at home, so.
Let's compare the drip.
So here's what happened.
Ahmad has the 08 one. I have the 06 one.
08 versus 06
yeah, let's
drip.
See.
And these a-holes had to come and make theirs bigger.
Let's vote.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Just they flexed on
time,
y'all.
Like,
look at the football.
Every year, just
little
gets
more
a little
colors.
Bit
little more color. Yeah.
Yeah, but, hey, that's not even the national championship. That's just the SEC.
That's just right? That's just the SEC. Come on, what is this?
He couldn't wear the national championship out.
Yeah. But also, you know, it's weird that we actually finished, I think, what, third in the country when we played Cincinnati that year in 2009?
Yeah.
And we didn't even get a ring for that.
No?
No. We got an Outback
so you
Bowl
want
ring.
Seven now. Rings. You want the seven instead?
I mean, yeah.
Miami's got some extra rings if you want.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
They ain't recent. They got a lot of dust on them.
Yeah, they're old. You might have one
diamond on them.
Hey, but you can get it on a good deal. It's a reefer.
A solitaire.
It's a reefer.
Look like a class ring, but it's okay.
Yeah.
You keep it clean.
You keep it clean.
Kept steaming over here, man. So, Ahmad, from a national perspective right now, the playoff picture as we see it, the favorites right now, Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, and Wisconsin.
LSU.
But who's kind of hanging back there that you like?
Gators.
Of course the LSU, of course the Georgia. The only thing about those teams are, you know, they kind of beat up each other
right.
to get to the main stage. I like a lot of those teams. Wisconsin has shown me a lot. They have that running back out there. What's his name?
Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, so he's
doing
awesome.
It.
Yeah, he's extremely good. Versatile bat. I think they somewhat impressed me the most, even though they've probably been playing some crappy teams.
No, we had Zach Smith on the podcast this week, and he said about Wisconsin, they play like Georgia's supposed to.
Right.
I like that.
So today's September 28th. On So 1 month from now, 4 weeks, Wisconsin, Ohio State, then we'll know.
There you go. There you go. Because, you know, at the end of the day, you know, everybody plays the cupcake games at the beginning. Everyone wants themselves to feel great going into their conference play, have their egos, you know, back scratched and, you know.
And then you run the gauntlet.
Yeah, bro. And then now it's gauntlet time. Then they don't know how to react or perform because they played all these cupcakes.
I want to get back to the YouTube stream. Go ahead.
We were talking this morning, Black, at the room. That's kind of like what Lakeland does during the season.
Yeah. So let's be honest. You know, Lakeland's going to go high school. Lakeland High School. Shout out to Dreadnoughts and Coach Bill Castle and those guys. They're going to go 10-0, and their teams are like that. You know, I feel like there's a Clemson like that. We know how Clemson has been in the past, but this is a whole new team, you know. And when you got, I'm not saying a whole ACC's cupcake, but when you play teams that aren't to your caliber, and then you get to a playoff team, and you jump and play like Alabama or Georgia or something like that,
right?
It can be a real check at the door.
Yeah, for them, if you're Clemson, and we're kind of like getting ahead of ourselves, but if you're Clemson, you want to play like a Big Ten team or big. Like a Midwest team that first round, because you're going to be faster.
Right,
just,
right.
You know, and then you don't want to play in Alabama or Georgia in that first round, 2-3 or whatever.
For sure.
In my opinion.
Yeah, so you know, that first game should always be like a, you know, a tune-up.
Yeah.
If you want to win that national championship, you got to play well in that first game as well.
Yeah.
You know, and the whole thing with that is you got to get out of that healthy. I know you guys were talking about the Townsend game earlier with the Florida guys. You know, it's going to be a great game for the guys who don't get that much playing time. Mm-hmm. But like Silk said, we got to get out that thing healthy because we got a huge game next week.
Yeah, we got to leave out of there with no injuries in the trenches, both sides of the ball. That's what you want leaving the game like that, especially going in a big matchup. It's homecoming, top 10 matchup. It's gonna be a game, bro. It's gonna be a packed stadium. Gonna be a lot of energy. We just gotta show up healthy.
Yeah, for sure. I can remember.
Go Gators, baby. I see you. Yeah, chomp on them.
So I remember going back, you know, I'm going back a little bit to 2009. We had FIU, I think right before Florida State.
Yeah.
And, you know, we wanted to get out of that thing unscathed. And we went in there, and I think A.J. Jones got hurt. And A.J. Jones, he had a knee injury and put him out for the SEC championship.
Yeah.
Right? On top of that, Dunlap wasn't playing for, you know, those circumstances. So, you know, a lot of people don't even talk about that. Yeah, you know. Alabama showed up and beat us, but we were missing some key guys on that defense, and we had to move some guys around that weren't probably, you know, comfortable with the position they were playing in. So
how you feel about the secondary? We talk about the physicality of guys missing tackles in the secondary. So how do you feel about the way those guys played in the Tennessee game? They stepped it up a bit. Wasn't a lot of missed tackles. So what's your take on that, and how you feel about those guys going forward?
The secondary has to be more physical. And when I say physical, I don't mean getting pass interferences on fourth and 30s or whatever we did before. You know, being physical means coming up, making tackles. You know, the other team is going to make good plays. They're going to make big plays. But it's how we tackle the ball and get to the next down is what really matters.
All right, let's take it back to the YouTube live stream. Got some questions. People are asking, Silk, where can they get that shirt that you have on? Maybe that's a question for TJ.
Oh, man. This is a exclusive drip that I hit TJ up. TJ make anything happen, man. You call him.
I'm thinking TJ, about it. We got people wanting this shirt.
I might run for president if I do. TJ's going
to. We might need to do this shirt in all three colors.
Campaign manager.
I know one thing.
Hey.
Yeah.
I know one thing. I'm going to stop all shippage if I don't get one. Nobody in life is going to get one. I had an idea.
I hit TJ up in the middle of the week, like, yo, I need a white shirt, the new logo on it, make it happy. He sent a picture. I was like, yep, that's it.
That's the one.
That's him. Let's make it happen. My DMs are.
Y'all didn't even see Silk hat. You got to turn it backwards, but.
Oh, yeah, man.
It took us long enough to get these things on.
And I painted my hairline, so I don't want to mess that up. You feel me?
It is kind of hot out here.
Yeah, I want to sweat that out.
All right. So how do you feel about 2021 DT Savion Collins and Leonard Taylor? Both are visiting the Swamp today.
Okay, before I get that, the shirts will be on the website, like, tomorrow. Yeah, TJ's going to hook that up. But
in all three colors.
I like both of those guys. They're on campus today. 2021 is so far away. We got to do everything we can to hold on to both of those dudes. I think 21 we're in line to get some big dogs in the trenches. I think we'll have one of the best defensive lines recruiting class in the country. But it's so far away. The big dogs like Georgia and Alabama, they're going to come a-calling. So we got to do everything we can do to keep those guys in the fold, man. Same thing with Gervon Dexter. We're getting good guys in the trenches. Just hold on to them, get them on campus. And shout out to David Turner, man. He's recruiting very well on the defensive line.
Yeah, I agree with Silk. We are getting some talented guys in the trenches, and that's where it all boils down to. You know, yep. And that's the difference maker between, you know, some of the big, top dog schools and some of the schools that are pretenders, you know, per se. You know, everybody has skill guys. We can all find somebody that can run fast and catch a ball, you know, but who can withstand 4 quarters of pounding in the trenches? And that's what changes it.
I watched it when Jimbo Fisher took over at Florida State. Jimbo Fisher, offensive guru. He's the QB god, you know, all this stuff. Well, guess what he did? He went out and landed Timmy Jernigan, Eddie Goldman, Marvin Wilson. You're talking number one defensive tackles at their position, one after another after another.
Because I don't care how good you call plays, you got to get stops.
So, you know, at the end of the day, you know, like in these big name conferences, like we got to say, ACC, SEC, you know, these kind of somewhat in the East Coast, we play a lot of defense. And now when you go to the West side a little bit, that's where, you know, it's more. And they want to call themselves the best until they play somebody with some defense.
Right.
And they can't score no points. So.
Yeah, it's a different standpoint.
That's why maybe we haven't seen it on the field, like Georgia being as dominant as people would like to see them, how they recruited. But that offensive line, they got some dudes.
Yeah.
So they're going to control that side of the ball almost every week.
Right.
And that gives them a chance every single week.
Right. Right. I mean, they do have some talented guys on that offensive line. They're huge. You know,
they can move.
Yeah, they got some mobile guys up there. We just got to try to match the tempo.
We got
to bring in the same, match that energy, the same caliber guys that they're bringing in on the offensive line. We have to do that on the defensive line.
Absolutely.
And that's the biggest issue. I mean, Alabama has skilled guys. They have great quarterback. They have good wide receivers, good running backs. But how good is your offensive line? Yeah. I don't care how good your running back is. If you can't move nobody off the ball,
correct. You're
not going to get anything.
We are the Big Three Roll-Up. We're out here at SeaWorld. If you guys aren't familiar with us, we are the one-stop shop for college football inside the state of Florida. I'm Josh Newberg. I cover Florida State. This is my man, Silk. Who do you cover? Who do you represent?
The prestigious University of Florida, the flagship, of course.
And we got Kev.
Kev represent 2001 Miami.
Just say to you, man.
But you know why I'm here.
You know why.
You know why I'm here.
We're out here at Flamecraft Bar at the waterfront down at SeaWorld. Everything's going great. Just having a good time. Got to see some of the animals and manatees and whatnot.
Berg energy was not the same.
Not the same.
Oh, come on.
Not the same as the show.
I'm just a guest.
We're going to talk about it on the podcast.
Oh, we're definitely going to talk about it.
We can't talk about it.
He was Tarzan. On the podcast last week, but he showed up to SeaWorld like Jane.
He was smoky.
He
got mind control. He's got mind control of Debo.
You got to. There's something to being open to seeing different sides of everything, Kev.
Wait till I tell his girl.
You can't just be hard-headed all the time.
Wait till I tell his girl.
Well, it's also great. You know, I know it's a little bit off subject, but it's also great to see the improvement SeaWorld has made. Where they, you know. How they were where we were kids to how they are now. It's much different, but it's also improved.
Correct. But
it's a beautiful day out here, man. We all got our families out here. I know Ahmad's got his daughter out here and his wife.
Yep.
I got my wife and my two kids are in Sesame Street World right now, I think, with Silk's wife and their kids.
It's a good day, man.
And Bird's just lonely. Like,
my girlfriend didn't even come. She's back at the hotel. She didn't want to come support me.
I'm kidding.
She is here.
She might be at a store buying my boy Berg some drip.
That is what is happening.
he's trying to fool us, but he really.
Yeah, we know what he's doing.
He really on the podcast and getting dripped out at the same time.
I feel him.
We got a question for Ahmad coming through our YouTube link. Why hasn't Juwan Taylor been as productive as the younger guys?
Oh, all right. I mean, I love Juwan Taylor. He's a great guy.
Throw that disclaimer out there, bro. I do the same thing.
Yeah, you know, I love Juwan Taylor.
I've heard this one.
He's one of the guys that I got close to when I got back, you know, in 2017 with McElwain staff. But I just think that shoulder injury is still nagging him.
Yeah.
And he had that, you know, 2-3 years ago that he's still kind of somewhat nursing. I think he wears a red jersey in practice still. So I'm not sure if they're trying to protect it or, you know, is he still hurting from it? What do you think, so?
Just from somebody, like, I got a messed up shoulder right now, but shoulders are fragile. I think once you go through that rehab, I think he's favoring it a little bit and don't want to throw that thing out there. And that safety, you got to be ready to get in a car crash. Right. You're a crash dummy. Right. You know what I'm saying? You got to run that alley and ready to eliminate big run plays. And I just don't see that from Juwan Taylor right now. I think he's favoring that shoulder. I don't think he want to do any big collisions with it. And I think that's the problem with him right now. I don't think like he has a problem with getting to the hole or anything like that. It's a want-to thing. With safety or linebacker coming downhill,
you got to want
to get in a collision. If you don't want to get in a collision, you're playing the wrong position.
So what Silk's saying, basically, how I play is I always want to go attack the runner or the ball carrier before they got a full steam ahead. You get what I'm saying?
I hear you.
Yeah, so shout out to Brandon Spikes. Spikes used to always tell me, you know, make sure you get downhill. All right? Because ultimately you got the problem is the ball. All right? So if I got an opportunity to shoot that gap and go catch you in the backfield for a loss of 2 or 3 yards, I'm gonna do that. Or let you get a full steam ahead and run full speed and then you gain a yard or two but I tackle you. No. You know that's not the whole point. You know, and then when guys break through the hole, my whole mindset was to make them think about breaking through that hole again, because I'm gonna hurt you. I'm gonna put my body on you when I get up.
And
everything, bro.
And one thing about it is, if you're a football player, like that running back on the other team, he watch film.
Yeah.
He know you're not willing to come downhill, so he don't have any regard to any safety coming downhill to cause any punishment.
Right.
If it's not on film.
Right.
Like he know it's sweet, so
right. He's
running wide open. So I just think like the younger guys just playing a little better.
Mm-hmm.
If they need to get spelled, Juwan can come in, but I think right now it needs to be Sean Davis and Brad Stewart.
For sure.
All right, we got a hashtag going called Ask Ahmad. How can Grantham
adjust probably, Berg.
He just writes.
It's probably an N
in Townsend. He can't read.
It probably put an N in Townsend, and he's like confused.
Being a legend.
Okay, so what he's asking is, how can Grantham how can Grantham put 33 in coverage to where he's not a liability?
Oh, okay. Right?
So what we can do
trying
with that
to hide
is
him.
Yeah,
who's
so not necessarily hide him.
David Reese.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm sorry. Yeah, David Reese. So what we used to do is 2-on-1 the back. All right. The back got to go out left or right. You see what I'm saying? And wherever he go, that linebacker take him. Now, mind you, that also comes with if we're not getting a pass rush. If we're getting a pass rush, guess what that back has to do? Stay in there and chip and help.
Yeah.
So if we're not getting a pass rush, that's causing the back to go out anyway. All right, if you got a pass rush, that back got to stay back there. So if we're not getting no pass rush, that's how the quarterback has time enough to even have a route develop from out the backfield.
Gotcha. So before we move on, is there any way he could get some double team help, maybe from a nickel, just for like the average fan that don't really know?
Yeah, so what I mean by 2-on-1 is you have two linebackers on one running back, all right? And it'd be one on the left and it'd be one on the right. Right. And wherever he go, come out of the backfield, that's who got him. The other one is, you know, playing over the ball or adding to the blitz. So I think that's a suggestion to kind of take that out the way. You know, also, you got to kind of know what down and distance is.
Yeah.
You got to kind of know situations to know that they may want to do that.
From watching David Reese play and watching the defense, does he operate better in a zone than man coverage?
Yeah, Reese is definitely a run stopper. I think that's one of the things that the NFL teams are going to have questions about is if he actually can cover in the open field. So I think that's one of the things that they're going to want to try to see is if he's a liability in the pass defense or can he hold his own?
What I'm saying, do you prefer him in a zone over a man? Does he
do
one better than the other?
Yeah, right now, yeah, for sure.
Which one you think he does better, zone?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Because you got to understand, dog, when you get a linebacker on a running back, you can do a plethora of different things. You can bring him out and literally option route him to go opposite of where they're trying to make him, you know where they're trying to make him go. So.
Well, I think David Reese is kind of like an old-school player. Maybe he's 10, 12 years ahead of behind where he
like
should have been.
Like a Spikes or something like that.
Zach Thomas.
Zach Thomas.
But Zach Thomas is a good comparison.
A great run stopper.
Great run stopper.
Always around the ball.
Yeah.
Correct.
But we'll get lost in coverage.
There you go.
He can get guys lined up. He's the captain of the defense. He does a lot of things right. We're never bashing David Reese.
On and off the field, I think David Reese might be one of my top three players. He's a great guy off the field. I think that's what, as fans, we don't understand that these kids are real people too, you know?
Correct.
And we look at them as football players and entertainment, when in reality, it'd be cool to sometimes get to know their real stories, you mm-hmm. know, and how they got to their schools and whatnot. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, humanize them a little bit. I got to take a break, guys, so Ahmad going to hold on the Gator portion of the show. I'll be right back.
All right, go take a break. Ahmad, Black, and Silk also do an affiliate podcast under the Big Three Roll-Up called Stadium and Gale.
Correct, Amando.
Kev does one called Storm Surge. Storm Surge is done. Tell them about Storm Surge and who's on that show with you, Kev.
Yeah, so Storm Surge, that's our Canes only affiliate. I got Ricky the Prince from the NWO podcast fame. He's on with me, and Gabby Aridia, who is on the beat every week. We basically just do the roll up, but from a Canes perspective, it's kind of like my safe space.
It's
kind of like my safe space, but. You know, we've had DJ Williams has been on, Tyreek McCord's been on, we've had different writers on. Last week we had Chad Wilson, who, if you listen to this podcast, you know, Marco Wilson, Quincy Wilson are Gators, but Chad was a Cane. And he still remains, I mean, he still claims he's a Cane.
He claims it. We don't know if he is.
No, I believe him. Okay. I don't got no reason not to believe him, other than he sends his kids to Florida, but at the time. But, yeah, if you can listen to Storm Surge anywhere, you can listen to the Big Three Roll-Up. We have a lot of fun doing it. Canes Safe Place. I know a lot of rivals like to tune in to Hate Listen, and we appreciate that because that counts too.
Right.
We can tell the advertisers all about the Hate Listen, just like we can tell them about any other listen. We got Virginia Tech this week. I'm going to have a National Virginia Tech writer on, see what else I can do.
Yeah. So we have a Gator podcast. We have a Cane podcast, so we got to have a Florida State podcast. And it is known throughout FSU Twitter as the Rollcast. Now, Trey Rowland could not be here, but we are graced with the presence of super producer Richie Barnes. Richie Barnes, welcome to the Big Three Roll-Up live show at SeaWorld.
Yeah, good to be here with y'all.
Yeah, man. Great to have you here.
Bro? What you got?
Yeah, you... What are you drinking on? And I see you're repping your Rollcast shirt. I like that.
Yeah, got to rep the Rollcast. Got a White Walking Tree IPA, actually. So
okay.
It's going out smooth for 11:30 in the morning.
Hey, morning beers. It's game day, though, so it's okay. You and Trey have really built a monster podcast in the FSU market. You guys have only been doing it for less than a year. But, hey, go Noles!
Go Noles!
What's it been like choosing this season to do your first podcast?
So it's funny, I used to listen to Trey when he first started, just happenstance. One of my best friends was the president of his fraternity at Florida State, and been listening, and then TJ randomly put out, hey, we need a producer for the Rollcast. So I'm like, I'd love to do that, and it just worked out. And, I've been with Trey since July. You know, he really did all the groundwork, got it started, he blew it up, and I'm just kind of riding his coattail right now, but loving it, man. It's a lot of fun every week. Talking to a lot of fun people, and we're really enjoying it right now.
Yeah, and it's fun to have you guys on under the Big Three Roll-Up umbrella. Trey brings just such a great perspective, especially for these times. Like, there couldn't be a better podcast expert that's so self-deprecating and just takes it all in stride as Trey does, right?
Yeah, especially in times like this. You know, we're sitting here 2-2 for the third or fourth year in a row. We have two losses in September, and Trey said, "No, I'm going to start a podcast, and we're going to make it work." And it's been going well. I'm having a lot of fun with it. You know, it's even with the bad times. I feel like our podcast is the one that people look forward to because, you know, they're not here for the X's and O's. They're here to hear another fan and our thoughts on everything.
Lose it.
Exactly.
They're there to hear Trey lose it, which he does.
Quick question. Like, do you find it – because when we started this podcast, I had a four-win season. So it was a little bit of therapeutic for me to get through it and hash it out with these guys. Like, does having a podcast and doing this help you get through, like, tough seasons?
It really does. You know, I'm a huge Florida State fan. I love talking Florida State football with as many people as possible. And it's basically an hour or two with Trey every Monday night we record. And it's, you know, it is therapeutic. It's nice to, you know, get it off your chest, as you guys would say. And just, you know, we're going through this together. We know college football is cyclical, and we're on the downside of it right now.
You got to go through these times so you can enjoy the high times. I mean, Silk's out the other end of it, it seems, right now. So he's done his
time. There's light at the end of the tunnel, bro. The tunnel may be long.
Hey, I wish y'all started this in, 2010.
Hey, ask Kev about tunnels with no light at the end of them.
I'll be like, when I first came on Twitter and got really active, that's when Florida State was really good. And to be honest, I didn't even like TJ at the time.
We talked about this last night.
Yeah, we talked about it, man, because Florida State was good. TJ trolls pretty good, so I had to mute him. Yeah, it was rough. But now, like, TJ does his Twitter thing. He's pretty good at it, man, because now that Florida State stinks, now he's kind of in between, man, you know?
Yeah, so it's funny for me. So I started at Florida State in 2006, so I was the first graduating class that never saw us win an ACC championship. So my senior year, we lost to Florida, Miami, and USF.
Geez.
So it was a bad time. And then, you know, 2013 came. I was lucky. I went to, like, 9 games that year, including the championship. And now here we are.
Yeah, it's roller coaster.
So during your time on the podcast, who's been some of the great FSU players that you've had a chance to talk to?
Well, first of all, we're in Orlando, so got to shout out Kenny Shaw.
You know,
he was actually the very first podcast I did was with Kenny Shaw, which was pretty awesome. And, you know, we've had a lot of great guests since then. I'd never thought. What's funny, you know, when I was in college, I did some writing for, you know, Noel Digest on the scout.com side. And Kenny Shaw, I interviewed him when he was at the Under Armour All-American game in St. Pete. And then I got to interview him again, you know, on the podcast.
After his career's he won a national championship.
Yeah,
you were at the game.
Yeah, so it was pretty cool. So it's just been fun. You know, I love being a part of it. Like I said, I just love talking Florida State football.
Yeah.
So
I find that, like, I know every, you know, Florida State fans want everybody. They want the guys from the 93 team. They want the guy. But I really enjoy going back to my time there. So I was there from 2000 to 2005. So some of the guests that I've really enjoyed having on are like Greg Jones. We've had, who else have we had from that era? We had Chris Ricks, PK Sam, all these guys coming on. And you kind of replay things that, like, you were a part of. So I was on campus during the time when Ricks and was getting criticized for everything, and PK Sam kind of had some bad things to say. And, you know, we had PK Sam on the roll up, and he wishes back then he knew what he knew now. And it's fun to get reflective on our times that we were there. And I see you guys doing that. I think it's awesome. But what's it like working with Trey Rowland? We got to know.
Trey's crazy, man. Y'all know that.
Is it one take? Everything's a one take, or you got a lot of editing to do?
Everything's a one take. I've done maybe close to 10 pods with him now.
Yeah.
And I think only maybe one or two I've had to edit, and it's very minimal. Like, it's very – Trey, y'all know Trey. He's very straight to the point. He says what he says.
Yeah, he does say what he says.
It's like, last week was easy. We recorded, done, upload, that's it.
One take hold.
I like that.
I like Trey. I like the energy he brings. I think, like, he fits the whole energy of the Big Three roll-up. He's going to speak from emotions, and this is like, we're not X-ing the old guys. We get into that talk, but nobody wants to hear that. It's emotion, fan emotion, and Trey's excellent at
Trey
that,
brings
man.
That emotion
he
every
brings
week.
That. I love it.
Speaking of emotion, as a fan, right now, we think James Blackman might start after seeing Hornibrook last week. Where do you stand just as a fan? Who do you want to see start this game?
So I honestly don't think there's any difference between James and Alex when it comes to the final record at the end of the season. I think they're both – There's no, you know, adjusted wins above replacement.
I like that take.
But, you know, I do think with a bye week coming up, I'd like to see James get some rest, let him get healthy, see what we have with Hornibrook, and then go from there. But, you know, I'm either one that takes the field, you know, I'm happy with it because I think they're both solid college quarterbacks. You know, they're not going to, you know, be in the all the ACC or anything, but they're also not going to, you know, lose the game for you most weeks.
So how are you feeling about this game against NC State? I made my prediction. I thought maybe a 7-10 point win. Am I setting myself up for disappointment, or do you like where my head's at?
So I did predict we'd lose to Virginia, which we did, so I want to get that out of the way so I don't get called a homer here. But I think we win big. I'm thinking like 41-20 type game. I really
the cush
like
will be
Florida
real
State.
Big after that one.
I like that.
I just think we don't have enough of a sample size for NC State yet. The one team they played, West Virginia, they were close for, you know, three quarters, and then West Virginia pulled away. But I do think Florida State, I just see them clicking for four quarters this way. Let's go.
Hype them up, Berg.
Hey, let's take that momentum into the donkey stomp, and we're going to get at Clemson.
V2. have 2 weeks in a row of being 1-0. What's your take about – there's been both of you guys. I didn't ask Berg this last time. There's been a trend of turning safeties into linebackers. What's your real opinion on, like, these guys being, like, changed, the position being changed, and them playing a little opposition before they even really got to be developed?
So I think it shows, too, a lack of recruiting the past few years, unfortunately. I do like Brennan Gant coming up and playing on the outside there. I think he's a thumper. He can hit. It's not his natural position, so it's not ideal, obviously. But that's – you got to work with what you have. You know, it's get your best 11 on the field and hope it works out. And I – you know, from there, we'll see what happens. I'm not ideal. Obviously, I love Brennan Gant at strong safety. I think he's phenomenal out there. But what are the alternatives? We don't have anyone, unfortunately. That's the reality of Florida State right now. So hopefully we can fix that.
Well, here's my take on it. So when Willie Taggart took over, offensive line linebackers, hands down, the two biggest positions that FSU needed to turn around. The staff and the message that we received after signing day was that they felt really good about this linebacker class. There was people in our market saying that FSU had flipped the linebacker room. So my question is, like, if they've truly flipped it, then you would see some of these young guys that the staff was so high on, like a Jaleel McCray, like a Kevon Glenn, and like some of these guys maybe get on the field early. I still like the guys that I just mentioned, but I don't think that they are ready to play right now, because we've seen some really bad play, but we've also seen some injuries, and we're still seeing Jaleel McCray get 3, 6, 7 snaps a game, not really playing the minutes that maybe we expect, especially after that spring game performance.
Well, that's the thing. All spring, all we heard was Jaleel McCray, and then the spring game, he showed out and had an amazing
game. Had a great
spring game. So part of me wonders is how much of it is Harlan Barnett. You know, we switched from a 4-3 to a 3-4. That's not his defense. He's never coached that before. Now he's trying to coach it. Now he's got, you know, the guy who's going to take his job sitting behind him. Hmm. So it's the whole defensive room. It's just a mess right now. We'll see. I think the bye week, hopefully we get some clarity heading into, you know, the massacre in Death Valley, and then we'll go from there.
The death in Death Valley. We're really going to put the death in Death Valley, something like that, yeah.
I think if you get the big upset today against NC State, you should feel real good about going into that Clemson game.
You know that'd be the first two-game ACC win streak since 2016 for Florida State.
I did not know that, but thank you for alarming me with those facts.
All right, well, we're going to get out of here in about 10 minutes, so thank you, Richie. I hope you hang out. We're gonna watch some of the games here in a couple hours.
Rowlcast.
Rollcast.
Hey, man.
Is it roll or row?
It's roll.
Roll.
I did it on
blame
purpose,
Blame Trey's ancestors, as Silk says.
Yeah, why they add a W in there, bro? That's weird. I mean, I got a K at
Trey's
the beginning of my
name,
so I can't judge. Knowles. That's how you pronounce that, Knowles.
Knowles, yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Richie, man.
Because
thanks for hanging out.
Spoon.
TJ's on his like 7th craft beer. Are we going to get the good TJ or the watered down TJ?
No,
right,
I think
now?
I
Same
think
Sunday is going to be great tonight.
I think when we watch the Florida State game later, we'll get the. Hey, caller. Caller.
No, I think.
Word.
I think TJ's on the same plan as me. Is the wife is in and attendance.
Yeah, Miami fans are calling the same energy Sunday. Better hope that we don't win tonight, because every question is again going to be, you got less wins than Willard, and there's a problem here.
All right, so TJ, the fine people at SeaWorld are having us out here today. How did we get hooked up with this? Why are we at SeaWorld right now?
Yeah, so big shout out to my guy, Josh Greenberg.
Basically my cousin.
I mean, the Bergs.
Green and Berg. Yeah.
The Bergs.
Josh and Berg. Yeah.
Josh and Berg.
His name's Josh Greenberg.
They're like fraternal twins.
He's got to be related in some fashion.
He's got better hair.
I don't think so.
Shorter
He's
hair.
He's got much better
Just
hair.
Just because it's shorter don't mean it's better.
It does mean that in this case.
Josh would be pissed off at me if I gave him a shout out, because he likes to be behind the scenes. But huge shout out to my guy, Josh Greenberg. He reached out to me a few months ago to kind of set all this up. And
Oh, we got the game.
Oh, they're picking
FSU. Yeah, we'll pause real quick. Hey. So
Desmond, we got the gold on the TV.
Desmond has FSU. Gabrielle
Union
and Dwayne Wade has FSU.
Lee
Corso's a homer. He's got FSU.
Shout out to the first family in Miami.
Kirk Herbstreit is
taking. Is it an FSU sweep?
FSU sweep.
On game day, we are losing.
Do you know what that? Yeah, I was going to say FSU sweep. NC State's probably going to win this game.
That's a three-time champion, baby. That's a scoring champ.
Why?
She's going to agree with him.
Here's my question. Why are they on it? Like, usually they have somebody from, like, a fan of a team.
Right, it's Nebraska versus Ohio
State. Oh, they say Gabrielle Union's a huge fan of Nebraska. I don't know why.
Big Nebraska fan.
Nebraska.
So, wait, Gabrielle Union, they're just riding Gabrielle Union's coattails, Dwayne Wade is?
Wade is.
Yeah.
No, Wade is not wearing that stuff.
That's embarrassing.
He went to Marquette, bro. Yeah. He don't got no allegiance in this.
So
they just got an intramural
anyway,
team.
Anyway, back. So shout out Josh Greenberg. He reached out to me a couple of months ago
Cousin.
And said we want to do a live show with the podcast.
Get
and
you
I was
some
just
birds
like
in your
us
life.
At SeaWorld. Like, I mean, I didn't even take it seriously, but then talk started happening and we put it together. So shout out SeaWorld. I mean, they took us on a behind the scenes this morning. I know our wives and families got to go a little bit farther than we did because we were setting up. But really cool experience. This has been a ton of fun. So if you're watching, if you're in the local area, they've got a craft beer festival going on now. I believe it's every weekend for the next couple of weeks. Today is Wear Your College Colors today at SeaWorld. So Kev's got his green on, orange and blue here, silk. I got garnet and gold on. Berg is being neutral because he doesn't want to support his friends.
That's not true.
And so...
Yeah, I don't know what, like, yeah. Who dressed
you? Thank you for repping the brand, I guess, but
we got it.
Anyway, so
we gotta
fun
get you
time
a,
out here
a
at SeaWorld.
Yeah, we got to get me a stylist.
And so for the next couple hours, I think we're free for the next couple hours. I'm going to take my daughter to see Elmo. We're going to hang out today, but then we'll be back here at Flamecraft Bar at 3 p.m.
Gotta find my family.
To watch the big games, to watch Florida play Towson. Newberg. And we'll be hanging out all day, man. Come out to SeaWorld. We're having a good time.
All right, guys. Well, we'll be back. We'll be back out here in a couple hours. What did we learn?
Okay, what did you learn today, man?
So
far, I haven't learned a whole lot because games got to get played. But what did you learn from sitting here today?
I learned that this morning when we went behind the scenes, they put lettuce into a PVC pipe, and that's where the manatees eat.
That was pretty
big
that
nutrition.
Was pretty cool. Big nutrition over here. They keep it green just like silk.
I gotta keep it green. I'll see what you.
He wrote that one down while the manatees
were eating. I see what he did there.
What'd you learn, Berg?
What did I learn?
It's like literally what I learned.
I learned that me and Silk can put a pretty good show on drinking daiquiris. I think we should make this like a regular
thing. Stop telling
thing.
People we're drinking daiquiris.
Berg's so proud of that.
They can see it. This
they
is
can
video.
See
it's
it.
It's a live
punch, live
bro.
Stream.
I try to be a manly man on this show. So
while you sip your daiquiri, show me how you do that.
I wanted some whiskey, but it's too early for that.
I do applaud SeaWorld for having the paper straws. We're not trying to kill any sea turtles while we're out here.
Hey. I'm going to tell you what I learned. I learned that Berg energy wasn't the same as it was on the podcast this week. We got a chance to go behind the scenes.
You told me to be respectful.
I didn't tell you anything.
Bro. Hey, let's
you had a lot of takes about.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna go there, Kev. I'm respectful.
See,
but Berg energy wasn't the same as it was on the podcast. He came out here and didn't have a whole lot of questions. So I don't know what he's gonna tell y'all on the podcast this week. Be honest with you.
Same energy, SeaWorld.
You'll have to wait.
All right, we out here.
All right, guys,
out here.
We appreciate you.
Let's
we'll
enjoy
be back
the park
in
a little
bit.
We'll be back.
We'll be back at 3 o'clock.
What's up,
we
my man?
We are out here
hanging out.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
All right, you can cut that.